Blog Talk Radio.
Greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for joining us. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, wherever you may be, whether you are on the phone, whether you are on the computer, or whether you are coming on Zoom. We are here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. Amen. This evening we have a guest speaker who has been with us before. But before we get there, if you would like to call in and participate and you're on listening to the computer and you would like to be online and ask a question for the speaker, you can call 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And you can be connected to the phone line. For those of you who like to come on Zoom, you can participate on that as well. You can go to your computer and you can dial 505-563-6808. 505-563-6808. And the passcode is Psalm 23. Maybe I must be wrong on that. I am going to, at this point, ask Dr. Suzanne if she would come on and if she would pray. We have a dear friend who has been hospitalized. We're going to pray for him, as well as we will continue to give you the direct numbers that you need. It appears that I'm giving you an incorrect number. So please charge it to my heart and not my mind. Dr. Suzanne.
The Zoom video conference ID number is 505-563-6808. You can call in by using either 309-205-3325 or 7237-4054. If you call the 309 number, you will be prompted to enter a code. The code is 505-563-6808. That's the same Zoom ID number. And if you dial in and you're asked for a code, you enter that code. Okay? Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, dear Lord, for this time that's been set aside for us, Father God, to explore your word, to fellowship with other saints around the country, to carry the word to those that are new to the word, to teach, to share, sometimes even debate. We thank you, Lord, for this time.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit directs our interaction this evening, that we will be, that we will relinquish our control and give up control to the Holy Spirit as we go to our meeting this evening. We thank you, Father God, for traveling mercy for our speaker as she is en route and should be arriving shortly. We thank you, Father God, that she is more than prepared for our meeting this evening as she received her the word from the Lord. We thank you, Father God, for everyone that's represented on the line today, this evening, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are blessing them and keeping them, that they, Father God, their homes and wherever they are, Father God, it's quiet and peaceful, Father God, so that they can receive. And we thank you, Lord, that for all the seed that's planted in the teaching this evening, Father God, that it falls on fertile ground, Father God, and it is dispersed and shared, not only among the saints, Father God, but those that are yet to know you. We praise your name and we thank you, dear Lord. Father God, we lift up those, Father God, who have requested prayer, Father God, and those, Father God, on our hearts this evening for prayer. We lift up our friend and leader, I'll just say Larry. We lift up Annetta, Bill, Amber, Joy. We have two Joys on our prayer list. Lauren. Snooki, can't think of her Christian name. And all others, Father God, that are on our prayer list. And all others, Father God, that may be on the hearts of those that are listening. We just lift them up right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for their continuous progress in the healing process. Father, we thank you, Father God, for total wellness and complete healing and total wellness as they are on the mend, Father God, and those that are experiencing have received diagnosis, Father God. We know that you are the lead physician, that you created us, that you know every hair on our head, every corpus body, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that in you, Father God, that you repair and you care for what you created. So we just give ourselves, Father God, and those, Father God, that we pray for at the altar, dear Lord, to you.
Yes.
We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all of the families that are online, Father God, and extensions of the families. In the name of Jesus, all those who wanted to be here, have been here in the past, and still supporting us and looking out for us and praying for us, Father God, we thank you for them also, dear Lord. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for that anointed prayer. As we move forward, we are in Chicago, Illinois, and we are with none other than someone that you've heard before who always brings a word for you. Please telephone, tell a friend that Pastor Yvette Easley is back again, and she has a word for you. Amen. So we're going to move out of the way at this moment, and we're going to turn the lines over to Chicago, Illinois, with Pastor Yvette Beasley. Pastor Beasley is on our Zoom, so if you cannot hear on the phone line, we have so many multiple things going on here. If you can't hear on your phone line, please let us know so that we can make sure that you can get a word and it is not distorted at this time.
Amen. Can you
hear
me okay?
Amen. Yes. Amen. Pastor Billy, Beasley, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see you back with us again.
Yes. I literally just walked in the door. I was like, can I not get every red light? But I'm here. And I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the opportunity to share. I know prayer has already gone forth. So I'm just excited to be here on tonight.
Amen. 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 I am Bishop Harris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. At the end, I'm going to ask you if you would pray over Pastor Beasley at the end of the service, sir.
Yes, sir. No problem at all.
Okay. Thank you so much. Pastor,
Amen. Let me just say a quick word of prayer so I can calm myself down. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord God, for keeping us, for you are a keeper. You have orchestrated our lives for such a time as this. So, Father, I ask that you take me out of self, that you get the glory on tonight, that, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you get the glory out of this word that will go forth. Let it be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path in the name of Jesus. So, Father, opportunity, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the ones that will hear and receive. Let this word take root in our hearts, oh God, that it will cause a life-changing effect to keep us holding on to your unchanging hand.
Yes.
It is in Jesus' mighty name that we pray and claim these things done. And it is so, and so it is. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, glory be to God. All right, so let me get started. Let me get started. I see what time it is, and I understand what time I need to be.
That's okay. Take your time.
I'm going to open it up so you can have some questions if needed. So tonight.
Recording in progress.
Whenever you hear the word remember, it usually alerts the hearer to pause in their pursuit or whatever they're doing. It's usually to make them to reconsider their next step. Remember typically suggests that there's a possibility that things won't turn out the way you expect, or maybe remember is followed by a statement that encourages you to act or behave in a certain way. Let me share with you some examples. This is Black History Month, and during the time of Black History Month, I love all of the black movies, and one of my favorite movies is called The Help. And in The Help, the nanny, Adelaine Clark, she would tell the little white girl, Mae Mobley, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. These words would encourage and were to remind the little girl of who she was despite what other people may say, even her mother. I'm also reminded of the movie The Lion King. In The Lion King, Mufasa tells Simba, remember who you are. He made this statement because he wanted to remind Simba that he was the rightful heir to the throne, and that he has the strength and the courage to become a great king. Maybe if you're not familiar with those, let me take it old school. Remember when you would go to the grocery store and parents would remind their children how they are supposed to act? I remember what my mother used to tell me. She says, don't ask for nothing. Don't touch nothing, and don't act like no fool in this store. She would remind us of the characteristics and the behavior of a child that was with her and how we were supposed to govern ourselves. Or maybe when we would go and visit one of her friend's house or a relative's house, my father would remind us how to act when we got over there. You don't ask for nothing. You don't touch nothing. And let me remind you that children are to be seen and not heard. Sometimes I would have to remind my own children how they have to act. I would have to remind them that your mama didn't birth no dummy. I didn't birth no misfits, and I did not birth no menaces to society. That means that you are going to elevate to greatness. So you're going to keep striving to be who you are created to be. So my challenge to my children and what I remind them every day is today, I want you to make a resolve to be a better you today than you were yesterday. Those are things that I will remind my children about. So again, whenever you hear this word, remember, it should cause you to pause for a moment and listen to what's coming next. If I have to give a sermon title on tonight, it would be Remember Her. Remember Her. In today's text, Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. So my title for tonight is Remember Her. Remember Her. Remember Her. Before we eavesdrop on a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples about the coming kingdom, which really began in Luke 17 around verse 22, but I would like to focus your attention on verse 32 and 33. But before we tap into that discussion, I have to set the stage to let you know and give you some context to our conversation tonight. Everybody is familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We learned about it in Bible school. We learned about it in vacation Bible school. We've even heard preachers preach about this and pastors talk about this intimate doom of Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want to bring you and I want to do a skip through Genesis, the 18th chapter and the 19th chapter, just to give you a little context of what went on and why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. In chapter 18, we are witnesses of Abraham, who is Lot's uncle, who is now standing as an intercessor. Some angels had come to Abraham's house and stayed. He saw three visitors, and he opened his doors and welcomed them in. And during the time of welcoming them in, one of the angels, which represented God, began to converse with Abraham and tell him a couple of things. First, he told him that next year this time you'll have a son. They talked about all of that. Then he started to tell them that we are on our way to Sodom and Gomorrah. That city is going to be destroyed. Their sins have reached up to me, and I am, if I can paraphrase, sick and tired of them. So Abraham began to say, well, wait a minute. Truly, you are a just and righteous God. If you find 50 people, will you kill the whole city? God said, no, if there's 50 people there, I'll spare the city. Abraham continued to negotiate, and he got it all the way down to 10. If you just find 10 righteous people, will you destroy the city? Said no. During this conversation with God, the other two angels left and went on about their assignment to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And as they reached the city gates, now I'm bringing you up to Genesis, the 19th chapter. As they reached the city gates, Lot was sitting at the gate. Remember that, because I'm going to talk about that later. Lot was sitting at the gate. He saw these two men coming to the city, and sitting at the gate, that meant you had some prestige. If business was being transacted, you was involved in it. If there was a dispute, if there was some things going on in the city, you knew about it. You rendered, executed judgment. You stood as a judge. You had clout if you were sitting at the gate. So when these men made their arrival, Lot went over and grabbed them and said, hey, come to my house. Come and share in my house. Let me offer you some food. Let me offer you some shelter. Let me offer you a place to stay. That was part of the custom in the biblical days. When visitors were coming to your city, you had to open your doors to allow them to come in. So these men came, and they came, and they began to tell Lot what their assignment was. We're here. And while Lot had them in his house and told his wife and his daughter, prepare some food for them, get some water, get some oil, prepare for them. We got guests in the house. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah surrounded Lot's house. They began to beat on the door and beat on the door. Them two visitors you got in there, bring them out. We want to know them. That know them meant sexually. These men became aggressive. They became violent. They wanted those two men that was in Lot's house. And Lot was like, no, I'm not going to give you. No, you don't need to do no harm to these men. They're under my protection. Y'all know the law. When visitors come, they're protected by me. So guess what? I got two daughters. They virgins. They are not married. They're not a spouse to anyone. They virgins. They know not a man. I can take my daughters. Do whatever you want to do to them. Leave these men alone. But the men of Sodom and Gomorrah got even more violent. The Bible says it was young and old. They all got violent. They wanted those two men in that house. So what happened? The angel snatched Lot in and caused them men to get struck them with blindness. I'm hurrying along to bring you up to speed on what is going on. So at this point, the angels are telling Lot, that's it. We getting ready to take this city down. We getting ready to take this city down. Get your stuff together and get on out of here. Get your stuff together and get on out of here. This is all happening in chapter 19. And Lot is procrastinating. He's taking his sweet time. The angels are like, look, I'm telling you, we're getting ready to take this city. We're getting ready to destroy this city. I need you to get out of here. Because of the prayers of your uncle, Abraham, we cannot destroy this city until you are out of here. So I need you to get your family, go get whatever family you got in the city, get all your family, gather your people, and get on out of here. Lot went to his son-in-law. The Bible tells you that. Lot went to his son-in-law in chapter 19, and he went to go and tell his son-in-law, the angels, this Sodom and Gomorrah is getting ready to come to his demise. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah have made it up to heaven, and God is not pleased. Y'all need to come on, come with me. But his son took him as a joke. His son-in-law took him as a joke and was like, man, gone. I'm paraphrasing. Man, gone. We don't want to hear that. Go on back your business. Go on back home. You must be drunk or something. Go on back home. And Lot returned home, and when he got there, he was still soulful. He was still procrastinating to the point where the angels grabbed Lot, his wife, and his two daughters by the hand
angel instructed Lot and his family to go into the mountains of Moab. And Lot again began to negotiate with the angel. Don't send us to Moab. Surely we're going to die if you send us there. Don't send us there. Let us go over here to this little town called Zora. This little tiny space called Zora. It's not part of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not in the valley where Sodom and Gomorrah is, but it's not in the mountains where our enemies are. It's over here, the little small town. The angel said, yes, go. You can go there. Do not stop and do not look back. Do not stop and do not look back. So here, the verdict of Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be rendered. They were found guilty, and their sentence was death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So when the angels warned them and told them to get on out of there and grabbed them by the hands and took them outside of the city and told them to escape for their lives, run, don't stop, and don't look back. Don't look behind you. So this warning was issued, and what I liked about this is that this warning was issued, but it had a grace attached to it. Because they were part of Sodom and Gomorrah, but because of the prayers of Abraham, grace was extended to them, that they were escorted by the hand of an angel. Angel escorted them out of the city, out of their mess. Deliverance happened. They went out of their mess and put them at the brink of starting something new. All they had to do was walk it out and get to Zora. That's what their assignment was to walk it out and get to Zora. And get there and get your family there. And after you get there, then they could begin to do what they needed to do. In Genesis 19:23, it says the sun had risen, and by the time the sun came up, Lot entered Zora. He made it to the place that they told him to go to. Lot entered Zora. So here is where my text begins. Because in Genesis 19:26, so in 25 they made it, right? In 25, they made it there, but in Genesis 19:26, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Version, it says, but Lot's wife, she became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? Why do you think she looked back? She had already witnessed the mercy of God. She witnessed that because they lived right in Sodom and Gomorrah. Whatever the sins that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, they knew about it. I don't know if they participated in it, but they were aware of it. And so they were subject to that same verdict of death. They were subject to it, but the angels had escorted them out, had brought them out of the city. And then she walked. She walked and made it to Zora. The Bible says they made it to Zora. She made it to her new beginning. She made it to the new place. She walked all those steps from Sodom and Gomorrah all the way to Zora. I didn't look to see how many miles that was, but nevertheless, she made it to the brink of a new beginning. She made it to the brink of her new life. She made it to where they could start over. But for some reason, she looked back. She didn't stop. The Bible says they made it there. They made it there by sunrise. So they didn't stop. They kept walking. So they adhered. The angels told them, don't stop and don't look back. But for some reason, in verse number 26, she looked back. Something pulled her from her past life and made her make this decision that would change her life forever. She had already made it to safety. She was at Zora. She was at the brink of a new life. She was at Zora. It was time for things to become new. She was at Zora. It was a time of processing and resetting. She was at Zora. She was walking away from her past. She was at Zora. She was on the cusp of everything new. I don't know if y'all heard this song. I think it's by Mike Brown Jr., and he says, new, 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 everything new. I'm coming for everything new. She was at the point of everything new. Was her to look back. Have you ever made a decision that you immediately regretted? Have you ever wished that you could get get a do-over, that if you could just go back in time, you would do X, Y, Z differently? Have you ever said, I wish I followed my first man? Have you ever said, I wish I never answered that phone call? I wish I never responded to that text. I wish I had followed my first man and didn't go in that direction. I wish I had paid my tithe because God said he would rebuke the devourer, and now everything, I'm walking around like with a purse with a hole in the bottom. Have you ever set some goals that you wanted to accomplish, but everything got in the way? You got further and further away from your goal, further and further away from your pride. Some of us set New Year's resolutions for January. I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes. But something happened. I'm going to start going to the gym and working out at least 3 times a week. But something happened. I'm going to stop going and eating all these sweets, and I'm going to only reward myself with something once a week if I do go to the gym. But something happened. Or maybe you said, I'm going to keep my time with the Lord. I'm going to set it on my phone, and I'm going to honor that time, and I'm going to go and seek his face. I'm going to lay prostrate. But you get a phone call and something happens. Or maybe you said, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. in the morning, every morning, and I'm going to have coffee with the King. I'm going to sit with God. I'm going to sip my coffee. I'm going to read the word, and I'm going to just bask in his presence. But something called you to go back to your old routine. You had good intentions, but something happened along the way, and you found yourself back doing things as old. Something happened. Lot's wife had an opportunity to begin again, but his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife turned around, and she turned into a pillar of salt. She was looking behind. After the angel specifically warned her, do not look behind in Genesis 19 and 17. Some may think that she lingered behind because she was caught up. She turned into a pillar of salt because she was caught up, that she hadn't made it, and she was in the wrath. And when Sodom and Gomorrah started to get destroyed, she was caught up in that. I beg to differ. See, the Bible says that she made it to Zora. Lot and his family made it to Zora. So it wasn't because they were rendering the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah and she got caught up in it. Mm-mm, that's not what happened. Some said that she made it to her destination, but she just didn't obey all of the commandments. She did partial obedience. She didn't do full obedience. She did partial obedience. And she received a judgment. It wasn't the same judgment as Sodom and Gomorrah, but she received the judgment because of the condition of her heart. The Bible says, God said that man looks on the outward, but God looks the heart. It was something pulling on her heart that made her turn around, that made her abort her destiny, that made her abort her deliverance, that made her turn back. Something in her heart made her look back. And to give this more context, let's look at Lot's wife. Let's look at this woman that is now leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. First of all, I told you Lot was a wealthy man. We knew that Lot was a wealthy man because when him and Abraham were together, he had so much cattle and livestock and servants that the servants with Abraham's servants and Lot's servants started to fight. And Lot chose to go in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had enough with him when he got there. The Bible also told us that Lot sat at the gate. So he was a man that had wealth. He had prestige. He had clout. So if Lot had clout, guess who else had clout? His wife. His wife. Lot's wife was a woman of a wealthy man, which gave her access to specific things, which put her in a different societal class. She had servants. So when others were going out to get water from the well, she would send her servants. If she didn't feel like cooking, she could tell her servants to do that. She had nice clothing and nice jewelry and nice transportation. She didn't have to want for nothing. She had her needs met and some. She probably had a big house with all pretty furnishings and beautiful things and fine clothes and delicious food and fine linen. I told you, Lot sat at the gate. He was an elder. He was a judge. So she walked around as a wife of an elder, a wife of a judge. Anybody on here, first ladies, you get some privileges because your husband is a pastor or the apostle or the elder or the bishop. And when they escort him in, you come in right with them. You get to sit on the front row right with them. When they're having a banquet, you get to sit at the table with the other bishops, with the other elders, with the other apostles because of your connection with your husband. So remind and think about it. Think about it. This woman had privilege. She had power. And let's not forget, the Bible says in John 2:15-17, it says, maybe she loved the world, but 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or things of the world. If anyone loves the world and loves, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But who does the will of God abide forever? So John, the brother of Jesus, warned us about loving this world. But I want to add something else to the reason why Lot's wife turned around. In my studies, it brought out to my attention that in Genesis, the 18th chapter and the 8th verse, that the angels, when Lot left, to go talk to his son-in-law, that let me know that Lot's children, they had some daughters that had married men that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And because Lot went to the son-in-law's, as you know, women didn't make decisions. Once you left your mother and daddy's house, you cleaved to your husband. He was now your covering so that Lot wouldn't come in and say, let me steal my daughters. I'm taking my daughters because this city is getting ready to go down. No, he had to talk to the husband. That was the rite and the rituals of that at that time. He had to talk to the husband. So when Lot went to talk to the husbands of his daughters, his son-in-law, that led me to believe that Lot and his wife had more than just two daughters that was living with him. There were some daughters that had married and could have possibly had grandbabies. So not only was Lot's wife leaving those material things, but she was leaving her children, her grandchildren, those that were engrafted to her, her best friends. She was leaving them behind, these other girls. And maybe when the fire and the brimstone started to come down from heaven, the screams and the torture from the people as they are burning, as they are, this fire is coming down on them, her daughters was in there screaming. Her son-in-laws were in there screaming. Possibly her grandchildren were in there screaming. But I'm reminded of the request, the law. So here we see Lot's wife turning around. She turned around and she looked back. Because it may have been the material possession, but it could have been her children's cry that she heard. And that maternal instinct on the inside, her heart weeps for the state of her children. But sometimes the thing that God has called us to do will cause us to turn our back on things that we love. It will cause us to turn our back on things that we think, God, I don't understand why you making me do this. But we will understand when we go through it. We'll come out better than when we went in. Now, God told her not to look back, but her heart posture caused her to turn back, caused her to forsake what the angels had given them, the law that the angels had given them. I want to ask you and pose this question. Would you have turned around if your children were in danger? Would you break the rule and look back? Say, I would not. I am still a work in progress. I honestly cannot say I would not. We make it to Zora, I probably would have froze in my step and began to weep for my children. But here she turned back. And because she turned back, because her heart was not sold out for God, she became a pillar of salt. What was she going to do, run back and go get him? You can't do that. You can't do that. There are several instances in the Bible where God warns us about looking back. King Solomon, wrote in Proverbs 4:25-27, and this is out of the NIV. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. These verses highlight the importance of maintaining a focus and a forward look, looking for staying on the right path and avoiding distractions and evil. Believers can walk in wisdom in the faithfulness of God. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said unto him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus emphasized the importance of commitment and focus on the kingdom of God. Looking back with nostalgia and reluctance can hinder progress and distract you from the ultimate goal, which is following Christ. When she looked back, she was no longer following after the rule of the angel. She was no longer following her husband, which was going to lead her into her next, lead her into her deliverance, lead her into her new beginning. She was no longer doing that, but she looked back in nostalgia. She looked back in reluctance, like, man, what I had, what I'm walking away from, who I'm walking away from, and she looked back. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:18-19, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Now you shall you not know it? I even make up the road in the wilderness and encourages his people to let go of the past and embrace his new work, the blessings that he has before you, his promises to make a way where there seems to be no way, providing hope and renewal and for those who trust in him to move forward. Has she trusted in God, the one that had given her all those things? Maybe something would have happened. Maybe God would have given her the opportunity to have more children. She had two daughters right there with her, so her family could have continued on. But her heart posture, again, caused her to turn around. So in closing, as we return back to the conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples in Luke 17, starting at the 22nd verse, but we're going to pick up at 32 and 33. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Salvation was made available for Lot and his entire family. All they had to do was walk it out. Mercy grabbed Lot's hand, his wife's hand, and his two daughters' hand, and led them to freedom. Grace allowed them to settle in a different place than what was assigned to the mountains of Moab, but they ended up in Zora. Yet fear caused Lot to choose a different path, which probably brought on casualties. The angel instructed Lot to go up into the mountains. Lot chose to go to Zora, to a small town. Maybe that wasn't enough distance between Sodom and Gomorrah, which caused his wife to turn around and to hear what was going on. If he had went up into the mountains like the angels had instructed him, maybe it wouldn't have happened, but fear caused him to make that decision. Then later on, fear caused him to leave Zora and go run into a cave. Y'all read that for your leisure at your own time, further down in Genesis, the 19th chapter. Let me throw this little nugget out there. Fear will always take you away from God's plan and cost you more than you're willing to pay. I'll say that one more time. Fear will always take you away from God's plan and cost you more than what you're willing to pay. So what happens when our desires and our hearts are a direct opposite to God's plan that he has for you? You know what's going to happen? God is going to yield and let you have your way. And this is what happened to Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, the one who looked back? The text says she became a pillar of salt, refusing to accept the life that God had set before her and preserve the life that she had in her past she became salt, which is a preservative of life. Imagine that. Salt that is a preservative. So by trying to save her life, she lost it. By trying to hold on to the past, she lost it. By trying to hold on and keep connection with things that God was trying to sever, she lost it. And she became a monument of unbelief. She became a monument of disobedience. Remember, Lot's things, as I close, I want you to remember out of Lot's wife issue. Number one, it's possible to get to the edge of deliverance and miss it. She got to the edge of the door and she did not make it. She missed it. Lot's wife left with Lot. Lot's wife's hand was held by angels and escorted out of the city. Lot's wife escaped a judgment that was rendered for Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife made it all the way to Zorah. Lot's wife received a judgment. She didn't burn with fire and brimstone, but she became a pillar of salt. So don't get to the edge of deliverance and don't do the whole thing. I heard somebody say that delayed obedience, is this still disobedience? I want to add to that and say delayed and partial obedience. Delayed and partial obedience is still disobedience. It's still disobedience. And then number two, don't assume that you've got a black card on mercy. That's dangerous. Don't assume that mercy will never run out for you. That's dangerous. Perhaps Lot's wife saw her husband enter in his engagement with the angels and how they kept giving him mercy, how they kept extending him grace, how they kept allowing him to procrastinate, how he was able to negotiate and go to a different area, how he was able to negotiate to go and try to save his family members. Maybe she saw all that. Maybe she witnessed the resistance and the hesitation of Lot when they told him, you got to get out of this city. When the angels told them that you got to get out of the city, maybe that was the mercy she thought she was going to get. But when she turned around, mercy ran out. Mercy ran out. And last, remember Lot's wife. Remember the one that tried to hold on to her past, hold on to the people of her past, hold on to things and gave partial obedience that she became a pillar of salt. Jesus is coming back, and we got to be ready for him to return. We don't want him to come back and find us with our work undone. We don't want to have him to come back and he say, depart from me, I know you not, because your heart is not in the game. You gave me half service. You gave me half obedience. You gave me half dedication. You got to be full. You cannot be hot or cold. You have to be hot or cold. You cannot be lukewarm. You got to choose ye this day whom you will serve. Either it's God or it's not. Either it's yes or it's no. There is no maybe with him. So we have to determine what we're going to do and remember Lot's wife. God commanded her to not to turn back. God commanded her not to turn back. He gave them a command to flee to a safe place. God is providing us a safe place even now. For those of us that do not know Jesus as a pardon of our sins, there is a place for you if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God provides an opportunity for us to come on the winning side, for us to be a part of the body of Christ, for us to have access to right power and authority, because we will be seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You have to make a decision today to choose which way you're going to go. Close, as I close, remember Lot's wife. Thank you very much.
Amen. Bishop Harris, are you there? Would you please pray over Pastor Shelby? Bishop Harris?
I'm sorry, Pastor, did you actually pray?
Yes, could you pray, please?
Yes, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. God, we thank you for the woman of God. We thank you for this message, dear God, the message that you gave to the people. And now, God, we ask that you strengthen her body, God. Bind all backlash from the devil, dear God. And, Lord, we thank you for blessing Pastor Beasley, dear God. Bless her for the word that she gave and for allowing herself to be used by you. And, God, now we thank you not only for her but for her household. God, we speak peace over her house. We speak peace over her life, and we bind the devil that would bring anything against them. God, we thank you for this woman of God, and we call her blessed. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. At this point, we're going to ask, are there any questions for Pastor Beasley? Are there any questions? All mics are open, so all you have to do is speak, and please make sure that if someone is speaking that you are courteous enough to give them opportunity to speak and not speak over them. Comments. We have a lot of members here from different states, please. Bird, please, ma'am.
I want to thank you for your extensive research. I never thought about, I know the two daughters, but I never thought about who she was leaving.
Hmm.
Easy for to say, like, you know, to talk about her and say, why did you look, like, why would she look back? You know, she knew she had the angels with her. But when you put it that way, it makes you understand and also show how crucial it was for her to listen, that she was, that they were specifically given those instructions. Don't look back. Wow. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for teaching us and for sharing this evening. Thank you so much for your obedience.
Amen.
Thank you.
As they do in the spoken word, when they get the snap in the fingers. I can say this with a cheerful heart. This preacher, I'm mad at you right at this hour.
Uh-oh.
Because we must be on one accord with the Holy Ghost. This was I was going to bring next third Wednesday.
Oh.
This is what I was going to bring next third Wednesday. And I am so glad that the Lord used you in this profound way and taught me something that I didn't even
know. Oh, my God.
And I thank you. But I'm still mad at you because, man, I got to go back and study that God again.
They give it to you. She's going to give it to you right away.
And while you were speaking, when you talked about the daughters, I was under the impression the whole time that the son-in-laws were staying in that house until I went back and researched it again. You were used on this evening. And don't let nobody tell you no different. God bless.
Amen. 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 Is there another? The mics are open before we come to a close.
I thought it was a very powerful word, and I greatly appreciate it. And the impact that it has in my life, you know. But anyway, we're often faced with challenges. Some things we should not look back on, you know. I think God has a plan for us, and I said I think. I know he does. And there was a song that part of the lyrics was, a fool will lose tomorrow reaching back for yesterday. Sometimes we have to continue to go straight and go forward and not be worried about what took place in the past, because that's not just going to slow you down. It could derail where you should be. You may go off the road while you're looking backwards when you should be looking forward. And a lot of bad things do occur in our lives, and then we have to ascertain, are they truly bad? They could be dealing with illness. And we have to recognize that we're in God's hands, and just follow his directions, remember that his hand is always on our shoulder giving us guidance and direction. And every day is a learning experience that we have to appreciate. But if you choose to not pay attention and not grow and to learn, if you take the belief that I know everything and I know more than even God, I'm just with it, you know, a bag of chips and all that. You put yourself in a very precarious position. But I thought it was a very profound word that you gave. Thank you.
I want to jump in one more time, and then I'm going to back out. You mentioned about them going to Zora, and so I looked up, because there's so much richness in your teaching this evening. I looked up what Zora means, and Zora means light, and it means dawn. And you kept saying that they were going to a new beginning, to a new day, and that's what the Zora meant. They were going out of darkness, coming out of darkness into light. Why would you look back? You'll be back. It's such a wonderful lesson for us. Thank you so much.
I'm on fire, and I was empty. I was empty all this week. Empty. I was looking for a word. I was starving for a word. And now I'm filled.
Praise God.
Thank you. I was filled.
Praise God. Praise God. Do we have another one more before we get ready to close?
I got it.
6752. I think they have something to say. That I saw the light going off on there.
752.
Yeah, there
you go. How you doing? I neglected to go to my home church Bible study, so I hope I'm not guilty of what the pastor was saying about being partially obedient. If I think what I got, I don't think what I would have learned in my home church, but I'll strip that. So I hope I'm not guilty of being partially obedient, but I've enjoyed just listening. I'm taking away two great things. Fear will drive you away from your purpose. Partial obedience is disobedience. And lastly, those are two main things I've taken away from the service, and I will be online again. And I just enjoy the message and things that I didn't like. I just enjoyed it, and I just praise God for y'all. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this evening. We welcome you anytime, and we do have the archive library of lessons and talks as well. And if you remain online, I can send you the link or guide you to the link. Or if you were in the text message, that'll give you this tonight's ministry lesson, and it'll also guide you to the site, the library, where you can listen to anything. There's hundreds and hundreds of teachings there. Thank you for joining us here.
Amen. As we come to a close, did I leave out anyone? Please, we don't want to leave out anyone. There's always room for one more.
I just wanted to say I greatly enjoy the message. Like she said, remember Lot's wife. And when I think about remember Lot's wife, remember what disobedience will make happen. She disobeyed God, and she got turned to a pillar of salt. And we got to understand that when God gives us the order, we can't disobey. Because when we disobey, there is a consequence. You know, the Bible says obedience is better than a sacrifice. So I just really love the way Pastor brought that out this evening, and I greatly enjoyed the teaching.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. As we come to a close at this evening, Once again, we do thank you for tuning in. We invite you back next Wednesday, where there will be another word coming forth. And please tell a friend, you know, that we're here spreading the word and teaching of the word of God. So we do invite you back next Wednesday. For all those of you that came on, thank you for taking a moment out to come and be a part of this hour. We pray that you have been blessed. I know that I have been blessed. Pastor Beasley, I can't say enough of the word that you have brought forth. You definitely are an excellent teacher in the things and how you brought everything out. You're an excellent teacher. So I say that publicly, and I'm pretty sure that everyone felt it, you know, whether publicly or privately, they felt the same. So I pray that God will continue to give you increase as he uses you as a vessel for kingdom business and for the body of Christ. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Do you have any closing remarks before we close?
No. I just thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God for the things that he has done.
Amen.
He prepared for us to see that, and I'm glad that it was a good meal.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. I do thank for Bishop Harris for reaching out and connecting with you and bringing you on board this evening. But we always enjoy hearing you as well. I'm sure that you know that you are a part of the family, okay? So
I learned from Bishop Harris' mother. Once again, she was my mentor and my teacher, and I love that woman. I loved her ministry, and I thank God for the seed that she planted in me that are now taking root and produce.
She has planted good seeds on good ground and good soil. So thank you so much. And may God bless you. Remember, we invite you back again. We love you, but God loves you. So good night, all.
Glad I ain't got stuff behind her next week. I got to pray for the person that's going behind her next week. I ain't calling no names.
They get busy. In a crowded
room.
I face the dawn.